All right, we are here with another exciting week of The Breaks. I'm Fresh.
I'm Confucius. You sound excited.
I mean, I kind of was looking forward to today. Last night was great, man. I'm kind of still, you know, up from last night. And I've been asleep all day, so I have all the energy. We here to take over the airways. No matter where you're from or where you stay. 98.9, you in the place to be. Wake up, wake up, wake up. This is The Breaks. You could be anywhere but you ain't. You here, so let's proceed with the wave. 98.9, you in the place to be. Wake up, wake up, wake up. This is The Breaks.
Megan Thee Stallion, a Houston resident, put out a song, a remix to her song Savage off her latest release. The song has gained viral fame from the Savage Challenge, you know, people doing the little dance, whatever.
Yeah, on TikTok.
But this remix included somebody else who might be considered royalty of Houston, Beyonce.
Yes, the queen herself, the Queen Bee, checked in.
Okay, once again, I'll speak my thoughts on it and give it to you. To see, okay, I first discovered Megan at my job, right? And we played her very early on The Breaks, as we normally do with most artists. So to see her go from being kind of only known in clubs in Houston, in the South, whatever, to now seeing a place in her career where she has a feature from Beyonce. Matter of fact, it was a whole new song. I hate remixes where it's just had, like somebody just adds Megan themselves had, to it.
Megan had whole new verses.
Yeah, exactly. And to see her reaction to having Beyonce in her song, her crying, and not only that, the song is used, the proceeds from the song are going to help fight the coronavirus in Houston. But to see Megan's career trajectory, doing a song with Nicki, doing a song with Beyonce, like, that was huge. It's also funny because people talked mess about that last album she put out, and now look at it. Yeah, that was dope. It was a great song. And, you know, it's always good to hear anything from Beyonce at this point, so, because she doesn't do interviews. So that was dope.
It was a dope song. It was a dope remix. Like you said, to reiterate what you said, I appreciate when somebody remixes a song and it's a remix, even if it's the same beat, but they come on there with different verses. So I appreciate that. I'm from the era where a remix was really a remix, where Diddy invented the remix. I come from that. Like, I come from that. When you say you remixed it, it's either new people on the song or you got a whole new verse. It was dope. I saw some people online trying to say the remix wasn't all that good. Nah, bro, you just hating. It's not for you. You're not a woman, so it's not for you. If you don't like it, it's cool, but just stay at this point in time, just stay quiet. Also, like you, I enjoy seeing an artist's rise, and I enjoy seeing Megan's rise. I remember seeing her posters and her schedule for South by Southwest in like 2018, and she was everywhere. Like, she was all over downtown Austin, like performing on every showcase, from the small ones to the big ones. And I was like, man, who is this chick, man? And knowing that she also attended Prairie View, I gotta show love for that. She's currently attending school at Texas Southern, so shouts out to that, HBCUs, all love, even though that's the rival. But like, to see her career trajectory go from this female rapper out of Houston who put out this tape, and Big Ol' Freak blows up, and then she blows up and she ends up becoming basically a pop sensation and attracts the attention of Beyonce, because she said she went to like their New Year's Eve party, and like Jay and B had a pajama New Year's Eve party, and she was there with them partying. Like, to see that, and then to see Beyonce jump on the record, like, that's great. I enjoy it, man. I love it. It's genuine. It doesn't look like it's bought. It don't look like the label like bought it or is paying for her press. It's like, it's just genuine love.
I mean, I would assume too that it's genuine, because if it wasn't, then the label definitely would take all that money from that song.
Definitely.
Drake also put out an album this week.
He did.
The Dark Lane demo tape. Have you had a chance to listen to it?
I did. Look, man, I'm a Drake fan. I enjoy it. Even if they are just throwaways. They great throwaways, bro. He has great throwaways.
Yeah, he does. This album sounded like throwaways, though.
It did. I can see why these didn't make the last album, or why they won't be on the album he's currently working on. But like I said, he has great throwaways. Like, I don't know another artist who just has throwaways as great as him. It's not that many. I would say Wayne, him.
Yeah, Wayne. Anything Pimp C got, just because I'm biased.
I'm biased. I'll say Jay.
Yeah, Jay. I'd say that too. But Jay, like, Jay ain't gonna put out no throwaways though. Jay ain't putting out no throwaways.
But it's not many artists who just have like great throwaways, and he has great throwaway records, and like I enjoyed the album. I'm always with Drake getting me in my feelings.
Tootsie Slide is on there too, which is a big single. I think it's the number two single in the country as of right now.
I like the song, so I'm rocking.
I don't mind
it.
The song. Whatever. I don't mind the song.
I'll be doing that once quarantine is over.
The album debuted with 250,000 sold.
Look at that.
Which I'm pretty sure songs. Is mostly, it's probably mostly Tootsie Slide, though.
I'm sure.
But hey, it's Drake, so, you know, he puts out a project and it's going to sell, so.
Yeah, a friend asked me, like, Drake put out a mixtape or is it an album? I was like, he said it's a mixtape, but I'm counting it as an album. He was like, why did he name it a mixtape? It was a mixtape. And just in case it flops, I'm like, this is Drake. It's not flopping.
It's like, not flopping.
At this point, like, when the last time he flopped? Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Yeah, last night was the battle between me and you, 1996 versus 1997 R&B and hip hop hits. You know, going into it, I tried to get my best Don King on. I was like throwing jabs at you.
I know you were, man.
Like, man, come on, let's do it. I was really trying to hype it up, you know. But yeah, it went down last night. Well, yeah, Saturday night. It's okay. Going into it, of course, you were the underdog, which to me, it's funny. It blew my mind. I'm like, y'all really don't remember 97 like y'all think y'all do.
And all these people who were supposed to be or claimed to be these heavy music and hip hop heads, I was like really shocked that I was like online that they were really counting me out, and I wasn't hurt. It was just more shocking. It was like, y'all do remember what came out in 97, right? Like, y'all don't, like, y'all, I was saying y'all were in high school, so you really shouldn't remember what came out in 1997. And they just didn't. And I was just like, oh, so y'all just going to count me out like that? All right, I'm ready then. I'm ready now. That gave me my extra oomph.
Yeah. For me, like, I knew going into it. See, and for me, I appreciate the underdog role more than the top dog, because then the pressure's not there. So I will admit to you, going into it, I was a slight bit nervous. But then when it started, I'm like, oh, never mind, I'm a DJ. I got this. because everybody, I knew everybody expected. And there's so much in 96. So my game plan originally was to just go in there and try to, you know, cut you off or to throw you off. Like, that's why I played Erykah Badu On and On, because the song came out in December of 96. And so I was like, you know, I know he has Baduism in his arsenal. But I will admit,
It was there. I was looking dead. When you played, I was looking dead at it on my playlist. So I was like, this dude here, man.
But I will admit, you got me with that Only You remix. Because that remix came out in 96, but the album came out in 97. I was like, damn. It was on my list, too. I was looking right at it. I was like, oh, he got me. Oh, I had it loaded, too.
And I was I was looking for the original version and not the remix, but I could only find the remix. And so I was like, I'm just gonna go with the remix, man. I'm just gonna rock with the remix.
It was funny, like, doing it in real time too, and seeing our, you know, you could see our reactions to the songs we were playing. I think my favorite reaction when I played Fuji's "Kill 'Em Softly." I was like, yeah, I knew that one hurt.
Man,
you about to cry?
man, that's when I started drinking. That's when I started drinking. My bottle of water had been finished, and I was just like, man, it's nothing I can play that's gonna beat this, because that was just a huge record. And that's more so how I was going into this and judging it, is trying to match a song that you would play and how good the song was and how big the impact of it was. And I'm glad you pulled a lot of punches, because I was trying to get all the rap I could get in 97 to compete with the rap in 96, because I thought you were going to come out with more rap than what you did. So I was more so preparing for the rap records to be played and not so much the R&B records. And I think that's what saved me, more or less.
Yeah, because as I was going through it, I was like, man, there's a lot of R&B I'm playing. But it was like in 96, for me, a lot of the music that I liked was R&B. I wasn't a huge rap fan in 96. And also, I was trying to, as a DJ, gauge who was commenting.
And the people in the comments really enjoyed it when we were playing R&B songs.
Yeah, and especially my siblings, because I knew they were Southern all the way out. So they were just, more South music. I'm like, I know y'all want it. My sister texted me, play Mia X. I'm like, I'm not playing Mia X.
Yeah, because I think I said, I'm going to go to the East. And I think one of them, or somebody was like, no, keep it right here. Keep it right there. Yeah, don't go right east. Don't south, go east. Yeah. But in my mind, I was thinking, you can't talk about 96 or 97 or the 90s period in rap and not go east. It's just impossible to do. You can't talk about that time and not play anything from the East Coast.
I will say one thing I think saved me. And I mean, please don't take this personally, because I mean, I love the song, but I did not think you'd play last. Triumph. I said, I was convinced you were going to do Hypnotize. I was like, oh, thank God. I love Triumph, but it's not bigger than Hypnotize.
I thought about that too after I played it and after like it was over, and I was just like, I don't know why I played Triumph. Why did I play Triumph? I should have just went with All About the Benjamins, which was my original plan.
Did you play All About the Benjamins? I don't remember.
I didn't play it at all last night. And I don't know why.
I said the only thing that can maybe damper Return of the Mac is Hypnotized. But when you, that's all.
Because when you played it and it came on, I was like, I was waiting for this. I knew he was going to play this. I knew it was going to be at the end. I didn't know it would be your last song, but I knew it would come toward the end because that's a huge record.
It was that or Pony.
Pony, I ain't going to lie, Pony kind of hurt. Pony kind of hurt, man. And when I looked at, when I was getting my song, I looked at the Billboard chart in 97, and Pony had charted very high on Billboard, and I was like, this came out in 97? I was like, this did come out in 97. Then I looked up the album, and I was like, no, it didn't come out in 97. So I was like, I'm waiting for this. I know he gonna play this. I know this is coming. I know Pony is coming. Then when it came, I was like, I was scrambling trying to find something. And I think I played Nice and Slow.
Yeah, you did.
I was like, to me, that was the only song that I had, because I was gonna play My Way or
You Make Me Wanna.
It was Out of My Way, Make Me Wanna, or Make You Wanna, or Nice and Slow. And I felt Nice and Slow was a better match.
The biggest blow you gave me, this is just my opinion, I don't know like how the judges or the viewers felt, but for me, the one that was just really like, oh, crap, was Mary. I said, oh, I Could Love You by Mary. Oh, that hurt. Oh, I was like, oh. That's probably really. I was already drinking, but that probably made me drink both my cups at the same time. Like, I knew he was gonna go there at some point.
Man, actually, man, when I played that, I thought I played it too early, cause like
you could have played Share My World. That's the song.
Man, I was thinking about that too.
You didn't play 7 Days though. Later,
you played SWV, and I was like, man, he played like the SWV song at that too, and I was like, come on, bro. I was like, so I gotta come back hard. So I just threw on the I Can Love You, man. But
I knew every one of my siblings and family that was watching was losing their minds to me. Mary in 1997 was untouchable. Share My World? Oh, they were losing their minds at home.
Man, but when I played it, I was like, man, I probably should have played another song off that album and just lost that round and just saved it. But
My two aces in the hole were On and On by Erykah, like I said, because I knew it came out December 96. And then Space Jam by Quad City DJs. I said, I know he ain't gonna see this coming.
I didn't expect that.
I know he ain't gonna see this one coming.
I didn't expect that. And I had planned on, like, my plan was to play Let Me Clear My Throat, but I was gonna play it to, like, just, like, lose a round in order to save something. But when you played that, I was like, nothing really else I can play against this but Let Me Clear My Throat. It's the only thing I feel like goes with it, so... That became my whole strategy of the night, is if you play a record, try to find something that matches it and that equals the hype to it. And
I knew when I played Space Jam 2, my mom was gonna comment, because we had the Space Jam tape, and I used to make a listen to it every time we would be in the car. Like, put it on Space Jam. So I knew when she heard that, she was like, oh God. Memories. You dang right, we're gonna play this. Play it all.
It was fun. I really held back. I still don't know why I played Triumph. Like when you played Return of the Mac, and then you were like, watch Fresh gonna play All About the Benjamins, and my finger was on the mouse to click play on All About the Benjamins. I was like, he think he know me. I ain't gonna play that.
I talked you right out of it.
I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't scroll down further and play Hypnotize, because it was like right. The Biggie songs were like right after the Wu-Tang. I don't know why I didn't play it, and I went straight for Triumph. I was just like, Triumph was a huge record, like, regardless, but it just wasn't gonna match. It wasn't
Hypnotize. Not only was Hypnotize a huge record, it was Biggie's last single that Biggie was ever in. Like, you would not, I don't care what Wu-Tang did in 97, you're not beating Hypnotize by deceased rapper Notorious B.I.G. You're not beating it.
I don't know why
your fandom kicked in, which I banked on. Your fandom. I said, Fresh is going to start playing stuff he likes. It. So that's why when you play Imaginary Players, I was like, yeah, that's for Fresh. I said, I love Imaginary Players. You know, I love
Imaginary Players. No, that definitely was me.
But that was not a big single. It wasn't a single at all.
It was a single for Streets is Watching.
Yeah, I know. And I didn't play any Outkast.
That I was shocked. And I kind of was waiting for it. I kind of was waiting for it.
You play the Outkast? I'm like, yeah, bro. I was too busy. I was too busy trying to appease the crowd. And also, here's what I learned about last night. So I knew you had Mary and you had Usher and Erykah Badu. So I said, okay, I have Aaliyah. One of the Mean is, not only is Aaliyah, you know, deceased as well, but One of the Mean was a huge album. I did not realize that as great as Aaliyah's album was and as good as Aaliyah is, she still is under Mary J. Blige to this day. Because nobody, I played two Aaliyah songs. People were like, oh, okay, that's cool. I'm like, what?
I was hurt. I ain't gonna lie. Them hurt. Like, when you play both of them, I was like, damn, what am I gonna play? Like, what can I play again? I was like, what can I play against Aaliyah, bro?
The comment exploded when you played Mary. When I played Aaliyah, they were like, oh, that's what's up. I'm like, what? I saw kind of flames emojis when you did Mary. I'm like, oh, see.
I saw that too.
I tell you what else kind of hurt me when you played Southside. I said, there's no way. Like, Southside is one of the biggest, like, Texas songs ever. I can play Pimp the Pen by DJ Screw and Lil Kiki. Because it set off the screw culture in Houston in terms of songs, but nothing Southside is just that was the song. Like, I heard that everywhere.
When you played 3 in the morning, I was like, ooh, yes, this gives me a chance to play Kiki, because I didn't think I was gonna get a chance to play it. And it was part of my original plan to play Kiki. I just was unsure where to play it. And then when you played 3 in the morning, I was like, all right, this gave me a chance. I had Southside and It's Going Down. And I was about to play It's Going Down, but I was Southside's a way bigger record than both of these. I'm going to go with Southside.
Southside was big. And I tried to come out the gate and try to stun you. That's why I played Ghost Town DJ's My Boo. Let me kind of just get him a little, you know, shot to the ribs real quick and slow him down.
I honestly was waiting on what you were going to play first to see what I was going to play first, because I didn't know what to play first.
I didn't decide to write that moment. That's just that's probably just DJ. Because it's funny, when I'm at work, you know, people always ask me, what are you about to play? I said, I don't know yet. I can just think of it on the fly. But it was a really, really dope battle. And honestly, to be fair, I can't even say that it was never that serious who won.
Right.
I wasn't in the mindset, like, let me just beat fresh and, you know, just flex my muscles. Like, you know what? I like this. Sure. I'm going to play this song.
For sure, I was going into it with a healthy competitive spirit, but I was more so going into it just having fun, just playing music that I know people are going to like either way.
Yeah, and that was honestly the best part about the whole thing, just seeing everybody's, you know, reactions to it and everybody having fun. Because, you know, 96, for me, 96, 97 helped shape a lot of my musical taste, because I was 9 and 10. Well, to be fair, 8, 9, and 10. So a lot of the music I heard at that point still resonates with me. And I knew my siblings, they're the same way, because we were all, you know, either teenagers or, you know, preteens or young. And that was during the time, you know, before streaming, obviously, where when you bought a CD or had a CD, you listened to it a million times before you got tired of it. So, and all these different songs create different memories for me. Like, I remember my dad had just bought a Camry, and he bought two CDs. He bought the Men in Black soundtrack, and he bought LSG. So when you play My Body, I'm like, yep, take back to that Camry with the ripped leather seats and the 5-disc CD change that he wouldn't stop talking about. Like,
and I was kind of waiting to play that song too.
And that's why I said at the beginning of the live, like, my musical influences at that time were my two sisters, Anna Nicole, rest in peace to my sister Nicole, and my mother. That's all. Like, that's I was around. Those are the three women that shaped my musical influence, because I was always around them. My mother played CDs when we were in the car, we were at home, we were cleaning. Like, I heard music from her all the time. I got introduced to rap because of my mother. And my sisters, Anna and Nicole, when I would go visit my father, of course, he would throw me with them because we're all kids, and they had all the CDs. So I just be listening to CDs with them. My sister had a CD binder. The first time I ever saw a 100 CD binder was because of my sister, Ann. And you know, she was one of the, you know, just like the chicks, most chicks we grew up with, they had the CD deck in the raggedy car, the nice CD deck. So we listen to music all the time. Like, they bought everything. Like, if it was R&B, they had it. She bought Rome's album, and Rome only had one song.
I had that on the playlist, though.
Oh, I'm so glad you did play that.
It came out in 97. I had that on the playlist, though.
Oh, I hated that song. I'd have just been just staring at the live. But, yeah, all this stuff, like, really influenced me. And especially me and my sister Nicole, because she was a huge Usher fan. She loved Usher. I tried to one-up her one time by buying Usher's first album. He was fat and had the S-curl, and he was, like, 13.
Just call me like, a Mac.
Yeah. And she was just like, whatever, it's still not better than my way, which it wasn't. I was like, I know it's not, but it's still, you don't have this one. She's like, yeah, nobody has. That's why nobody acknowledges it, because nobody bought it.
Yeah, he's gonna get dropped off that.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, I said what I said about the influence, because, you know, those songs also, I think the reason why it was a lot of R&B, because, you know, women sometimes tend to lean more towards R&B. So that's what I heard
It was a lot of women who tuned in last night, too.
And, you know, me and you both grew up with single mothers. So, of course, Mary's going to come into the equation at some point. Of course, SWV's going to pop up. Of course, Aaliyah's going to pop up. So, of course, Keith Sweat's going to pop up. Like, it has to happen. So, it was me making more of a, paying homage to those women in terms of influencing me. Now, granted, we'll talk about this in my Confucius Says, I didn't please everybody. But, you know, for the most part, that was what I was trying to do. And, you know, those 2 years are very important to me. But we did have three judges: D'Elia Jones, Reno Dudley, and Ray Castillo were the judges. I mean, like I said, being whoever won is inconsequential. Like, it doesn't, it's whatever. But in terms of their scores, Reno had it 11-9 you. Ray had it 11-9 me. And D'Elia had it 11-9 me. So it was, for me, I mean, granted, yeah, everybody, I won the last two, but I'm just glad that everybody realized how close it was.
And I think it would have probably been closer had we been doing ties. I don't think anybody did ties.
Yeah.
Because I felt like at least three of those rounds were probably ties. I at least saw people in there. I at least saw Reno say at least two or three times that it was, I don't remember on which songs, but he was like, nah, this is a tie. He was like, I saw him ask, are we doing ties? Because he was like, this might be a tie. So
it honestly could have went either way. Like, yeah, it's not surprising to me.
It was fun, man. It was fun. I didn't play Hypnotize, though. I really hate I didn't play Hypnotize. And there was a lot of Bad Boy that I didn't play.
Yeah, you really held back on the Bad Boy. I'm glad it was close, though. Like, I didn't want no blowout. Blowouts are boring. I hate blowouts. Granted, now the competitiveness in me is like, if it had been a blowout, it means you never would have stood a chance. But, you know, this ain't basketball. The main thing was just entertaining everybody. So, yeah, it was dope.
And my pridefulness wasn't going to allow me to be blown out. So
I knew that. But once again, I knew that wasn't going to happen, because I know 97. Like, I knew that. I said, if Fresh plays his cards right and gets out of his fandom, he'll be all right. But I knew you could let imaginary players go. I knew you could let imaginary players go.
I couldn't, bro.
Now we can move on to our first segment of the night. Unpopular opinion with Mr. Fresh himself.
I'll be honest with everybody, man. I don't have an unpopular opinion.
Oh, man. Come on, man.
I was so caught up with the battle that I really just didn't bother.
Just make your unpopular opinion. 97 was better than 96.
To think of one. But I was getting to that. I do feel like my unpopular opinion for this week would be that 97 was a much better year than what people gave it credit for previously going into the battle. Because, as I said before online, a lot of people were just like counting 97 out, and they named like three albums, like that was it. And I was like, huh? Like, y'all just know these? They named the Missy, they named Wu-Tang, and they named Mary J. Blige. And I was like, y'all think only three albums came out in 1997? Like, y'all think that's it? Y'all nobody named Jay, nobody named Usher. Like, just thought that was it. All right, cool. Tupac did put out a project, just by the way. It was posthumous, but it was one.
Cool 97 Day Theory came out in 97.
Yes, but my unpopular opinion is definitely that 1997 is a much better year for rap and R&B than a lot of people gave it credit for going into this. Like, y'all don't know. I think y'all just old and y'all forgot. I'm just gonna chalk it up to that. Because a lot of people was in there was like, hey, I was this is high school for me. This is this year. I was a senior. I was a sophomore, a freshman, and sophomore these years. Like, hey, y'all, the memories. They say memories the first thing to go, and y'all clearly has went, because y'all forgot a lot that happened in '97.
Yeah.
All right, now it's time for my favorite part of the show, where we get a little bit wiser from Mr. Jones himself. Oh, excuse me, Brother Jones himself. Mr. Confucius Says.
You say Brother X, I'd be like, what? Watch Malcolm X today. So yeah, so last night we did the live 96 versus 97. It was, I had a great time, as evident by my current hangover. So my basis, like I said at the beginning of the show, for doing the live was to kind of pay homage to my late sister Nicole, because a lot of the music that came out in 96, 97 we were listening to. And so this is one of those times on the show where I kind of get somewhat personal, a little deep. But so the beginning of the live, I shouted out my mother for her musical influences, because I first heard Tupac, you know, SWV, Aaliyah, from my mother, and my late sister Nicole and my sister Ann, because I was around them a lot in 96, 97. Unfortunately, I pissed off some people by doing that. My family, some of my other siblings, who I was not around as much back then, who felt like I was taking away from them by not shouting them out. So basically, Michael Future Says is just about, you know, also, you know, understanding people's individual experiences. So for last night, what happened was, I don't think a lot of my siblings fully understood that I spent a lot of time around some of them more than others, which is, I'm 9 and 10 years old in 96, 97. I can't control who I'm around. I couldn't drive. I was watching cartoons still. I don't know. I just know that whatever people listened to at that time that sounded good, I was listening to it. I couldn't buy CDs. I had no money. So, you know, sometimes in life, you know, we sometimes try to equate our experiences to a certain time, to a certain person, and we expect everybody else to have that. But sometimes that's not the case. Now, granted, there are extreme cases where everybody should hate somebody. I'm going to assume majority of the world hated Hitler or hates Hitler. That's because, as you should, evil man, evil man. But if it's something like, hey, John down the street almost ran me over with his car, I'm sorry, John never ran me over. I look both ways before I get in the street. You know, it's two different things. So he's cool with me. He gives me, you know, he waves to me when I see him. So like with last night, I think, you know, for me growing up, I spent a lot of time around women. The only man I really spent time around was with my father when I would go see him. And my sisters lived with my father and my stepmother. So I was around my two sisters, Anna and Nicole, a lot. Unfortunately, I didn't see my other two sisters in Waco as much because they're in Waco. So a lot of my musical taste, I didn't get from them. Granted, I do have experiences with them. Missy's CD, I was with one of my sisters from Waco when she bought it. And I first heard T.I.'s trap music with one of my sisters in Waco, because that's a whole other story I can never tell on the air because it involves certain things. But for them, I want to say, of course, I love all of you, all of my siblings, Michael, Justin, and Nicole, Dakery, Natalie, Devin. But I do have different experiences with all of you guys. I just hope you understand that I'm not, when I don't say you weren't around for this part of my story of my life, it wasn't because I didn't want, because I'm trying to be evil or hurtful. It's just, you just weren't there. Just like I'm pretty sure all of y'all went through things and I wasn't there. I know y'all, I wasn't there for a few things. But, you know, just in life, I always remember that, you know, just because somebody has an individual experience that you weren't around for or that you weren't a part of or that you don't relate to, you can't sometimes take that away from them. And so that's my Confucius Says. The Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks Show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/The Breaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown. Production support provided by Art Levy.